Please look with me in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. For just a few minutes, I'll abbreviate what I would say as well and try and fit it into the time that's left. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We were singing at the commencement of the meeting as well as in the middle of the meeting lovely hymns concerning the Lord's coming. Certainly, it's a great privilege to anticipate that blessed coming of our Lord Jesus. I want to think about some things perhaps that have a little bit to do with that in a very brief way this evening in the time that's left. Now come with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and we'll just read a few verses here. I was just going to read from one verse. Actually, we'll refer to others, well, several verses. Verse 23 of chapter 12. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David to Hebron, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. Verse 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. I'm thinking of this as a picture. When we think of the Lord, when we think of David here, and he's finally upon the throne, he has been hunted in the wilderness, and he's been pursued like a partridge upon the mountains. And you know the entire story about it without me going into it, but now we have those that were identified with him, especially in his wilderness rejection, and they're coming and they're enjoying the blessed occasion of David being crowned king. And what I'm thinking of in connection with that, dear brothers and sisters, is that we're identified presently with a rejected king, one that is now not accepted in the place that God intends for him to have, and yet there's a day coming, and I believe it's very soon, when, as the Word of God says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And we're looking forward to that day when the one who is rejected by the world will be seen in all of his glory and displayed in his true greatness and seen as the rightful king and the Lord of all. But I want you to think with me about five things concerning these men. I can see them right as I think of it right now, as they've come with that one heart, united with one purpose. The whole thing that's been before them all through those years of suffering in the wilderness, and all that they've identified themselves with this man. Now it's coming to fruition. Now they're seeing the reality of it. As David is anointed as king and he's given the place that God intends for him to have as ruler over the people of God. And there they are gathered with him and they're recognized and they're able to rejoice in the fact that David is now in his rightful place. But I want you to think of five things concerning these men as they're gathered there that day. Because it's those men that made all the difference, and those men that were identified with him were the ones that were able, in the most particular way, to enter into the joy of that great occasion. The first thing I want you to think about with these men is that they were men of sacrifice. They were men of sacrifice. You know what I mean, because when you go back in the Word of God there, you'd find that these were men. And they had been willing, because of their allegiance to David and their recognition of the place that God intended for him to ultimately have, that they were willing to leave their homes. They had left the army of Saul where they could have had position, perhaps. They had been willing to leave their farms and their fields and all that was connected with normal everyday living and getting along in the world, and they were only willing to do one thing. They were going to be out in the wilderness. They were willing to suffer. They were willing to sacrifice because of David. They had paid a price. And some of them might have paid a tremendous price. We know that some of them were even brethren of Saul. They were Benjamites even, and they had left that relationship and they had said no to that man. And they had identified themselves with a rejected man that was being pursued in the wilderness. They had paid a price. And they had realized what it involved and what it meant to be identified with David. Now listen, dear brethren and sisters, I'm speaking especially to younger ones today, this evening. You know, God calls upon us as a result of our identification with the Lord Jesus to be willing to sacrifice for him. You know, I think really we're living in a day, of course it's always been this way to a certain extent, but especially today, it seems to be the attitude even among God's people, I don't want to give anything up. I don't want to pay any price to really be identified with the Lord. I don't want to suffer anything for His name. But yet the principle of the Word of God is still the same. The Lord Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Those that are identified with him in the present day of his rejection, dear brother or sister, remember this, there's a great reward coming for faithfulness. Faithful service for the Lord Jesus. I wish I could ask you, dear child of God, especially younger ones, whether you're willing to pay a price, willing to sacrifice so far as the present things of this world are concerned, and the prominence and the prosperity and the position and all the rest that is connected with it, for the sake of being identified with a rejected man that is one day going to reign for all eternity. They were men of sacrifice. You remember that the Lord again said, he that will come after me and hate not his father and mother and all the rest, even lands and houses and all the rest, forsake them all. The thing is not so much hating them, I believe, but it's the thought of being attracted so greatly to the person, attracted to Christ in such a way that it surpasses and supplants everything else. God calls upon his people to be those that are willing to sacrifice for Christ. Not only were they men of sacrifice, but they were men of separation. They were men that knew what it was to go from all the rest of what would have claimed them, and they were willing to remove themselves from it, not in a negative sense, but it's because they wanted to be with David. And really, dear brother or sister, I want to say separation is a very precious truth in the Word of God, and it's a very important one as well. And you know, the only true sense of separation is, first of all, unto the Lord. Being willing to come apart from all else to be identified with Him. And because of devotion in the heart for the person of Christ, to leave behind and to leave apart all that would be contrary to Him and His purposes for your life and mine. You'll notice in this chapter in verse 18, we have these that came down to Him, who were of Benjamin and Judah, some of them of the house of Saul, no doubt. David doesn't know whether they're sincere or not, but Amasai says, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. They were men that knew where they belonged. They knew what side they were on. They weren't compromising. They weren't trying to straddle the fence. They weren't trying to move partly in the camp of Saul and partly in the camp of David. They knew what it was to be absolutely devoted to the person of David. Because of their identification with him, they knew what it was to suffer with him. They had endured with him. They had persevered with him. And whatever David endured out in the wilderness, they endured as well. My dear brother or sister tonight, I would say to you as well as to myself that there's one that claims your allegiance. And if you're going to be identified with him, you'll have to be separate from all that is contrary to him. You'll have to recognize that he has claims upon your life. And because of his claims upon upon your life, that has first place. And if you're going to enjoy fellowship with him, it'll have to be from a heart that is recognizing that all that really matters is what I am enjoying, what I am in relation to the Lord Jesus. They were men of separation. And the happiest believer today is one that knows what it is to be separated unto the person of the Lord Jesus. Separated unto him. Coming out from all that is contrary to him to enjoy his presence. You know, it's a wonderful thing to endure a little bit for the sake of Christ, if it's done out of a heart of love and devotion to him. And we have these men, not only men of sacrifice and men of separation, but they were also men of settled convictions. Men of settled convictions. That is, that they had only one thought in their mind. All the time they were down in the wilderness, all the time they were being pursued of Saul, and all the time they were enduring afflictions, they had only one thought, and it was certain, it was settled, it was absolute in their mind. David is the man that's going to be the king. And they were sure about that. They knew it was not only their desire, but they knew it was God's desire. They were identified with God's anointed. They had made up their mind. They had sort of, you might say, weighed the thing up. And they only had one man before them. And that was the right man. And they were willing to do whatever was necessary in whatever time and way it was possible that they might forward and they might further the cause of that man, that ultimately he might be seated in the place that he should be on the throne. They had settled convictions. You know, oftentimes what is the real plague among God's people, and it seems more so today, is those that don't seem to really know and have not settled their mind as to genuine convictions as to who's the right man and where does God want me to be. You know, that's really what keeps a child of God, is what we've been hearing in relation to God's assembly. It's a settled conviction about where God has put me and where God wants His people to be and where the Lord's presence is going to be realized. You know, I've come to appreciate that more and more. I was raised in an assembly atmosphere, received into an assembly when I was in my teens, but I would say it was not for many years that I had really come to see. And that was really the place where God wanted me to be without a shadow of a doubt. I could see that this is what the Word of God teaches without any question. And since it does, it excludes everything else. But I believe with all my heart now that it's the only place where the truth of the Lord's presence can be realized and enjoyed. Settled convictions. And I would encourage each one here this evening, young people as well as older ones, to go to the Word of God and settle it in your mind as to what is really important, what is right, what does the Word of God teach, not only regarding God's assembly, but in every aspect of a life to be lived for God. Those that are not sure of themselves, those that have not settled the whole matter from the Word of God, they seem like they can't make progress and they don't go forward. James chapter 1, he reminds us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He doesn't know which position to take. He doesn't know what direction to go. He can't make any progress. He's just standing still. And these men knew what God's mind was. They knew who the right man was. They knew what they had to do, and they were willing to do it. And they waited God's time until ultimately David was on the throne. Oh, that you might have, each one of us might have settled convictions and a certainty as to where we stand and who we belong to and what we're here for and why we're here. But not only were they men of settled convictions, they were also men of sufficiency. Men of sacrifice, men of separation, men of settled convictions and men of sufficiency. And I mean by that that these men had abilities. They had abilities and they used them for David. You'll notice that it says in this chapter, I won't turn you to every verse of them, but it tells us in verse 2, there were those that could sling stones with a right hand and a left hand. Another place it tells us they didn't miss. They were accurate. They knew exactly how to use the equipment they had, whether it was the bow and arrow or whether it was the sword. They were men that had ability, and they used that ability for David. And in 1 Samuel chapter 23, as well as in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, we have the recounting of those mighty men of David. And we have their exploits spoken of and how they could defend and stand and win victories over the enemy, even giants, even lion-like men of Moab, and all these others that stood against them. You like to think about those, don't you? The man that stood in the little patch of lentils, not worth very much so far as men were concerned, but he was going to defend it because it belonged to God's people and it belonged to David. And he did it. And God wrought a mighty victory that day. These were men that used their ability, and they used it for David. You'll notice in verse 33 as well as in 38 here in chapter 12, we have a little expression that I think is very important. It says they were men that could keep rank. Men that could keep rank. You know what that means? I believe the thought is anyway that it means that when it came to the onslaughts of the enemy and the efforts of the enemy to break up and disrupt the ranks of the army, they didn't break, they didn't run, they didn't give. They had courage and they were going to stand their ground. They knew how to keep rank. They knew where they belonged and they weren't going to be moved from it. And you know, dear brethren, there's an ability and there's a need among God's people today for those who will stand and keep on standing. Ephesians 6 tells us that. men that knew where they belonged, men that knew how to defend the spot where David had put them. You know, if there's anything that David wanted, it was men that he could count on, and men that would use the utmost of their ability to carry out his will and his purposes. God is looking for men like that, sisters as well, those that can be dependable, those that will stand and not give up and not give way, men that know how to stand and keep rank. You'll notice as well that it says about in verse 32 that there were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I take that they had intelligence to know God's purposes. They knew what God was doing. They knew what who was going to be on the throne, and they had, had come to see that that's what God was working toward. So these were men that had ability, every kind of ability. And listen, every one of us here this evening, younger people especially, I want to tell you, you have abilities. And those abilities can be used for God, or they can be used for the world. Those are abilities that can be used to progress and advance yourself, or they can be channeled into means by which you can use that life of yours for the God who has saved you, for the Lord who has died for you. These men used all their ability for David because they recognized that he had the rightful claim upon it. Oh, that we might, as a result of the Word of God, open and proclaim to this conference gathering, get a fresh sight and an insight to realize that God has given, He's given me a life to use. He's given me abilities that can be directed for Him. And it is a need today for those that are willing to lay down their lives for the cause of Christ, and maybe even give up a few things to this world because they'd like to do a little bit for the Lord. These were men of sufficiency. They were also men that were now satisfied. A day had come. All that work they could look back on, and the suffering they had endured, and all that had experienced in the wilderness, was it worth it? Ah, they would have told you, yes, it's worth it. Absolutely so. David is on the throne. We're able to enjoy the great place that God has put him, and the place he has, and the recognition that's his. But you know, not only was David recognized, and did David get his rightful place, but David recognized them as well. David recognized them. And when I read 1 Samuel chapter 23 or 1 Chronicles chapter 11, 2 Samuel 23, isn't it? And 1 Chronicles chapter 11, I think of what it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. There will be the recounting of all that's been done for the Lord. There will be rewards given for all that have been faithful to Him. There will not be one thing, one sacrifice, one thing you've endured for Christ that will not receive a reward and a well done in that day. But I wonder sometimes how much we're going to miss out on. We've gotten our little enjoyment here in this world, and we've perhaps tried to enjoy this life as we're passing through it when we could have reaped something that was for eternity. These men, when they stood there and saw David crowned as king, they could rejoice more than all the others because they had had a little part in it. And God had used them to further the cause of David. May God help us to have hearts like these men of David, that our hearts might be so knit to the man who has saved us and who is one day going to sit upon the throne, that we might live in anticipation of the day when all will be put right, when all will be put under his feet, and when he will sit supreme upon the throne eternal. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. These were men who had sacrificed. Oh, that God might help us to realize the value and the importance of sacrificing for the sake of Christ. Men of separation. Men that had settled convictions. They knew what was right. Men of sufficiency with all their abilities being directed for David. And they were men that had satisfaction and joy when he had his place. What a day it's going to be, brethren. The crowning day is coming, and I don't believe it'll be long.
words in verse 22. I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13. The first book of Samuel chapter 13. And in verse 13, maybe just for the connection, we should read from verse 11 to refresh our minds on the circumstances. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed,